broadcasting live from our Ford Recovery Radio studios located in downtown historic Ford Recovery. You're listening to Sports Talk with Bubba and Thee. Without further ado, here's your host and co-hosts, Mr. Bob Stogler and Mr. Harold Feely on Sports Talk with Bubba and Thee.
Welcome to Sports Talk and the extension of Insight.
Insight extension.
So one thing that
you
I thought was...
You forgot something, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I thought it was very important, and I was somewhere else and didn't write it down. So with the Scully's Speed Shop and Scully's detailing, Christmas is coming. That's the perfect thing. People always have trouble finding something to get for people. That's perfect. The detailing thing. So what would they do to get a gift certificate, gift card, however you, whatever you guys do?
Well, I have a lot of people contact me through phone or Facebook. Usually I start posting a bunch about how we sell gift certificates. And, I just started them last year. Had a lot of people buy them. So you just buy one, whatever, however much you want to put on it, or how what package or whatever you want on it, and then people can pay for that, and then give as a gift card and gift present.
Give to somebody for Christmas. Yeah. Especially those people that they have everything.
Yeah,
they don't need more stuff.
Fee, Spencey's gonna get you and I one.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah, you can share it.
All right, big enough, we'll share it.
Yeah, it'll work.
We need tinted windows.
Yeah.
I need some lights on my wheels.
Well,
FR announcer on the side of it.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, there
you
go.
You guys do raps.
Yeah.
So, FRR announcers.
Oh, I like it.
And we can do, after I win the lottery tonight, the $800 million or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Then we'll get you each whatever kind of vehicle you want
to
have.
Well, at that point, I don't need the gift certificate anymore.
Well, I'm winning. You're not winning. I'm winning.
I thought we were sharing.
No share.
Well, we'll share a little bit.
We're going to buy Marty McFly's car.
Yes.
Yeah, for $800 million, you could probably buy the real one.
I think we could get it.
If you need 10 on that DeLorean, we're running 10% off November 20th through December 31st there.
Oh,
perfect.
So,
cool.
Just contact us and
you guys are going to be busy.
You said yourself you were a couple weeks behind.
Yeah.
So you hopefully can still have it done if you want
to. But those tent things, they can pop those in
pretty quick.
Yeah.
Schedule between then. We'll still get
those don't take hours upon hours.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Is the tent still like one of those thin things that you put on the windows?
Yeah.
Film.
It's film.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Sticks on there.
And, you probably didn't hear when we were talking about it, but Gage was talking about if he has a bubble, has to come off and start all over again.
We get a lot of tint that people do and cheap tint.
Don't
look very good. The whole back window is all bubbled and we all strip it off and all the glue.
Yeah.
And it takes more time.
And it looks like somebody did it themselves.
Yeah.
That's that's exactly why.
I've seen a few of those bubbled up tinted jobs.
Oh, yeah. Well, those aren't from Scully's.
Not from Scully's.
If it is, take it back. They will redo it.
They'll make sure.
Make sure.
How did we get the name Scully's?
So he told that earlier.
Yeah, I missed it.
So step on over here, Gage, and you can tell the story again.
Well, it was a sticker my dad put on the back of my Ford Ranger when I bought it. It was a Punisher skull. So everyone started calling my truck Scully. And I was just really like doing that kind of work, so I started doing it for people. And soon enough, I just named it after my truck, Scully Speed Shop.
Nice. Scully Speed Shop.
Yep.
Perfect.
Now we know, Fee.
Yeah, so now you know the truth.
Yeah, it's not from anybody they axe murdered and boiled the skull and just a skull.
Well,
I
didn't go that deep.
Well, never mind then.
You went off the deep end.
He did go deep.
So that's the Get a hold of them. Facebook, social media, all kinds of stuff. Stop by and holler at them. And
Neil's exactly right. Anybody, so somebody that you can't find anything to get, that's a perfect gift. I mean,
everybody
needs a car clean.
Yeah, they will appreciate it.
They get dirty every couple of weeks, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And if somebody's a clean freak themselves, that's just some work they don't have to do.
Mm-hmm. Makes it easier.
And know that it's going to get done at least as well as they would do it. So
there used to be a place over in St. Henry, and it was by the Marathon Station, and that young man always did cars and waxed them. And
yeah. Yep, that's SS Speed Shop.
Hemel Gardens, yeah.
Okay, well, SS Speed Shop is, and I don't know if that's the same thing, but...
It's different.
No. You're talking about...
Steinbrenner.
S&S. SS something.
SS Speed Shop.
Yeah.
Detailing.
They did a couple of my trucks.
Yeah,
and
that's...
He does a fantastic job.
Yeah, that's
Roger Steinbrenner.
Roger Steinbrenner's son.
Troy Steinbrenner does a fantastic job, too.
Yep, they're good people. They're St. Joe folks.
They are St. Joe folks.
So, all righty. So, anything else you want to throw in there in our addendum to Insight?
I don't think so. Unless you want to get an oil undercoating.
Oh, yeah. For getting ready for winter.
Yeah. Because of that salt and stuff, so it don't eat up your paint and stuff.
Yeah.
Rust out.
Yeah, and
is that a one-time deal, or is that
every couple of years, I think you said?
About every other year, 2 years. Some people like to do it every year, just to, you know, make sure it's all filling with oil. And it drips here and there, but...
Good idea.
Yeah. Definitely helps, you know, prevent money of,
absolutely.
Yeah.
John. Having to pay for the rust repair there.
Absolutely. All righty. Well, I think we'll finally let you go. we thought you guys were going to get out of here a few minutes ago, but we dragged you back in to talk about the possible Christmas gifts for people. So let's shift gears now and talk to the mayor about our income tax levy that we
just... Yeah, it passed 73%, which is a good thing. You know, we brought it up. We brought it up this past summer, and we've had, I think, three meetings about it. And we had a nice turnout at the first meeting out at the Cooper Pavilion, and people discussed things. But, you know, I never had... never had one person negatively talk to me about it. And I think that the town is just, you know, Fort Recovery is just one of those places where I think they understood, you know, we lost a factory to a fire. We've got one big factory down just because things aren't selling. And they understand. You know, I'm not sure I was 100% on board with it in the beginning. I wasn't against it, but yet I wasn't 100% on board just because the mere fact that I liked being one of the towns that was still at 1% and we could make things happen with that. And it boiled down to, at this point, we couldn't. So... We got rid of four levies, you know, so your property tax will come down, and...
Because there's, what, three or four?
I think there's four levies that will actually be rode to the wayside now, and that will actually start the first of the year.
Yeah, they can't...
So...
Technically, they're still in effect, because they have to play out.
They got to run their course, but...
But you can say we want zero money.
We're going to resend them, So if you have a nice place, you're really not going to have much of an impact, because what's coming off of your property tax, you're basically paying to the income tax, and it'll probably be a wash for most people. I hate to do it. I mean, I'm not a big fan of taxes. Nobody is.
Right.
But our town has to be able to stay afloat.
Yeah, and function. And, you know, the things that have happened in our town since the state allowed us to collect income taxes, you look at what this town was like 30 years ago and the things that have happened.
It started in 1984, 85, I think.
So it was.
So 40 years, roughly. And you know, it's... It pretty much is. Well, it's a very large portion of our budget, and we're very conservative here in town, and we budget a certain amount is where we'd like to stay at, and if we can make over that, you know, we have a little to put in the coffers, and this year we're not going to put much in the coffers, if any. I don't think we'll put any in the coffers, but you know, it's one of those things that we were one of the last villages to actually do it around, and I guess I'm proud of that, to say that we lasted as long as we could. But you know, some people approached me and said, is 0.5% enough? You know, does the town need more? And the answer to that is, we really don't know. And the reality of it is, let's just try with 0.5%. If we can make that happen and make everything work, then I don't want to take any more out of anybody's checks. I mean, I hate to watch my stuff go out of my checks.
The income tax, before we had that income tax, we were chipping and sealing all of our streets. Now we're paving, redoing it, and everything is top-notch. We put in sidewalks and a lot of stuff. Of course, a lot of the people pay the sidewalks themselves, but
we keep chipping away, and we've got a lot of streets to do, but we've accomplished a lot in the last 40 years. And if you go back and think about where the town was, if you go back and think about where the town was 10 years ago, it's been a hell of a change.
Yes.
Yep. And right now, our downtown looks... It looks great.
Baba.
I'm tickled to death the way it looks, and you know, we just continue to strive and continue to grow, and that's the goal.
Yeah, it is.
Slow growth is good growth. I don't want it to blow up, and I just want it to steadily grow. So that's the main thing. But I want to appreciate and thank everybody for voting positively on that.
Absolutely.
And
I think it was basically 3-1.
I think it'll be a good deal. So hopefully, you know, we continue to spend that money wisely and continue to go. But
doing a great job, Mayor.
Let's talk sports. We got sports coach in here. Fee,
coach just rolled in. Coach West, come on up here, buddy.
Step on up there, Coach Winning.
Yeah, you wanna.
Yeah, let's take a real quick break,
and maybe we can
do a little off the air chit chatting before we start.
Back sounds in like a winner.
Just a minute.
Support for the Tribe 107.3 comes from Wayne IGA in downtown Fort Recovery. Wayne IGA offers a full-service meat counter with fresh-cut steaks, a full-service deli, and a grab-and-go selection of store-made salads, subs, and ready-to-eat meals. You'll also find fresh fruits and vegetables, plus a variety of party trays, including veggie and meat and cheese trays. Stop by for quality meats, fresh produce, and convenient meals made for busy days. Find more at wayneiga.com or call 419-375-2865. Thanks to Wayne IGA for supporting Fort Recovery Community Radio, a 501c3 nonprofit organization.
Support for the Tribe 107.3 comes from CSG Consulting. Saisha, they help businesses and individuals build smart strategies using financial modeling and analysis. CSG assists with keeping an eye on performance, managing business dashboards, and analyzing budget differences. They also help adjust strategies and manage change, because what worked before might not work tomorrow. Their focus is on understanding all the moving parts in your operation to keep everything balanced and on track. You can learn more at csgconsulting.us or call 419-852-4049 or 614-551-4631. Thank you, CSG Consulting, for supporting Fort Recovery Community Radio, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Support for the Tribe 107.3 comes from Miracle Lanes in Fort Recovery, offering bowling, family fun, and a place for the community to gather. Hey, Harry Carey, tell us more.
Hey, they've got lanes for parties and celebrations and open bowling on the weekend. In the kitchen, it's wings, pizzas, sandwiches, wraps, and subs. Plus a pizza wing and salad bar buffet every Friday at lunch. For more information, the number's 419-375-4274.
We thank Miracle Lanes in Fort Recovery for their support of the Tribe 107.3.
It's November, and our Indians are playing football. After winning in the first round of the playoffs last Friday night, our Indians will move on to round two of the playoffs as they head down to Pike County to take on the Eastern Eagles this Friday night at 7 o'clock. Our pregame show will start at 6:40. The Eagles are undefeated this season, and they're the number 4 seed in our region and are ranked in the top 10 in the state. So our Indians will have their work cut out for them. Make your plans now to get your gang together to make the 3-hour trip on Friday to help our Indians bring another victory back to Mercer County. But if you just can't get there to cheer them on, you can always listen live on the Hometown Huddle, the Tribe 107.3 FM, and FortRecoveryRadio.com, the home of the Indians.
Hey, we're back here Wednesday night, Bubba and Fee. Tonight we got Copy sitting in for Bubba.
Couldn't be happier sitting up
Neil
here
said,
right
Neil.
Now.
Bubba's at
Ramson? Absolutely nothing yep, left on TV
that's
to
what
watch.
I've heard.
Baseball's over.
Baseball's done.
What's the Mac action? Is there Mac action tonight?
I know there was some last night.
There was last night. I watched a little bit of Miami and Ohio last night.
Yeah, a little bit going on.
Anyhow, we have Wes.
We got Coach Wes in here. First of all, congratulations on a great regular season.
Hey, thank you.
A lot of fun, I mean, a lot of enthusiasm, and fabulous enthusiasm for them fans. I thought this year, what a lot of fun.
Crowds were crazy. Yeah.
Crazy crowds.
And the players. The players are fired up.
Yeah. You brought some excitement here.
Yeah, so, well,
and we're loving it.
Well, I think, just top bottom from a program, from a school, just a lot of good things going on. You know, AD Amy Pocket are doing a tremendous job throwing some of these events and the student appreciation night and the cheerleaders getting on. Like when all that stuff happens, you know, that gets a lot of people in the seats,
gets them fired,
generates a lot of excitement. Yeah. You know, more eyeballs on the kids and the kids have a heck of an experience
and a lot of new fans who you personally had to try to help show them how to start cheering when we have them at third down.
Yeah, you got to get a little rowdy out there.
Teach us a little bit.
Well, some of the funnier things, you know, obviously on Facebook, you see Father Moore, the cheerleaders pick up Father Moore, and he's got that
classic.
Yeah, he's got his horn.
Got his horn blown.
So we talked to him. I talked to him. I said, "Dude, do you have any idea how close you were to?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "I don't know if I can give myself final, but you know, the last rites." And then I said, "You're up there in the air." And then we picked up Brandon a couple weeks ago. I had him up
with his uniform on. Yep.
I think Mayor's about due.
Mayor, baby.
Yeah.
We're going to put a little pressure on
the girls. I feel like the girls, I want to go out and feel their biceps a little bit.
We're going to need to get some boy cheerleaders.
We might just end up doing the old triangle. You know, they get down on their hands and knees and I crawl up. I feel like I can be. I can do it, but I love that stuff. And the crowds have been fantastic. You've had a lot of support, Coach, and let's do her again, huh?
Yeah. It's fun. You know, obviously you want home field advantage in the playoffs. You'd like to buy, you know, but there's an aspect of, traveling to some of these different venues and different spots of Ohio that just, man, it keeps it interesting. And you just have fun with it.
Yeah. We had a lot of people there. Not just the band, not just the bus
crowd.
Full of kids.
Great crowd.
There were a lot of people there. We probably had maybe 3 or 4 times what they did because it's not a community. Right. It's a private school. It's, you know, kind of, that's a little different situation. Right. So you see that a lot of times when you're playing a non-public school, that there's not a town. That's
well, we played
there.
On a fantastic field. That was some kind of field they had there. And I don't know where we're heading to, if that's going to be natural this week. Probably.
Yeah, it should be. And it's actually at Eastern High School's place, you know, in Beaver, Ohio. So, that's their natural home stadium. So, should be fun.
Should be great. They're coming in 10-0. Coach, what have you learned about them?
Yeah, so 10-0 football team. They don't lose a lot of regular season games. I believe their last 3 regular seasons, if I'm not mistaken, they've gone undefeated. So that's just...
How far have they gone in the tournament?
Not very far, but, I think Scott Tomlinson, I've talked to him a little bit. He's the head coach down there, you know, so talking to him at the beginning of the week. I think what he's done with his program, you know, compared to the area, I mean, he's been a cut above, you know, and they're really making some noise down there in kind of like that southern part of Ohio. Mm-hmm. And I think they're kind of licking their chops of, you know, hey, now we got a MAC team coming to town. Yeah, absolutely. So this is a huge weekend for them to prove something. So I know there's going to be a chip on their shoulder. And
I'm sure.
And that just makes it fun for us. You know, we got a 10-0 football team. They're a team that, they spread it out. They throw it around a lot. They got a 6'6" 240-pound quarterback, you know, that's got a cannon.
Yeah,
I mean, so it's just it's a fun matchup. It's something we really haven't seen, and you don't see a lot of those styled teams in the MAC. So
does that 6 foot six, 240 guy also run some?
Yeah, yeah, he's a load. He's an athlete. Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
Badly. So I was gonna say that sounds like a guy that could be a bruising runner too.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know, so all in all, fun matchup.
That should be a blast. Awesome.
Yeah. Should be a blast.
It'd be awesome. It'd be more awesome if it was an hour away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. V and I have a long talk about this week, and we're still struggling with that 3-hour drive.
Right.
Plus.
Right.
They're a little 3-hour plus.
I figure if he's driving, I can tag along.
There we go.
Yeah.
See how this plays out.
Load the car up and go.
Right. So I know that makes, travel interesting from a team perspective, too. You know, obviously, you want your guys fresh, and you don't want to just roll in, three straight hours and roll off the bus right onto the field, you know. So always trying to break it up. That's just kind of a new challenge of, organizing that and keeping your guys fresh and loose and getting them to have the mindset that this is like a business trip. You know, you want to have fun. You want to be, we need to take care of business here. So
it's
so
you say an that early departure.
Yeah.
So you say that. What is your Friday going to consist of? When are you getting out of here?
Yeah. So guys will get released at about 12:15. So they'll eat lunch at the high school, and then all players will get released at 12:15. We'll head to the locker room, load buses by 1:00. We're going to drive to, it's called like Chrisman Park, which is, you know, you kind of get through the mess in Dayton. And then it's right there off of 36. And
near Xenia?
Yeah, Xenia area. Yep,
okay,
yep.
So that's 35.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yep.
You're not driving. It doesn't matter.
Right. Well, so... So then we're hopping right off into getting off the bus after about 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And we'll kind of stretch and we'll have some packed subs. So last week, you know, Tin Cupboard prepared us a bunch of subs. You get off for a half hour, kind of stretch the legs, get a little loose, and then right back on the bus. We'll take it, ride the last hour the rest of the way. Mm-hmm. Should put us there about 5:00, and you know, then the normal routine starts. So,
yeah.
Good deal. Yep. I wasn't sure what time you get out of there, but that's perfect.
Yeah. And then you just hope you don't get stuck in, whatever mess.
Crazy traffic.
Right.
Crazy traffic. Yeah.
Yeah. So I know last week we tried to avoid like 75, you know, to just avoid anything at all costs, you know, on the way down there. And then, 127 still had construction and fun stuff going on, you know, but.
That happens all the time down there.
It does.
And if we would have beaten Minster the last week of the season, the first game would have been in Portsmouth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is another 45 minutes southeast of Beaver.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So,
we wanted to win that game, but when you lost and you still got in.
Right.
And then you seen what happened. We stayed away from high school for one more game. What the hell?
Yeah, life would have just been a lot nicer if we just won, though.
Yeah.
Yes. That night, I mean, you know, to be so close in those games against Anna, against Minster, you know, obviously, there's been a common theme that we just need to close. We need to finish.
Yep.
You know?
And we're learning that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. And, and then that whole night, it was weird because you almost had to sweat. Getting in by, you know, and we're like looking for all these scores. We're like Miami Valley Christian Academy, who is a team that we actually played, you know, when I was in high school in the playoffs. They were our first playoff game my senior year. And so we're trying to refresh and find that score the next day because they had one of the games that we were relying on to get in.
Yeah.
And there's like nobody reporting
nobody's
on
the score. No. Can't find the score.
Right. We had coaches like DM, I think like Jose Fowler's trying to reach out to their people at Miami Valley Christian Academy trying to get the score from last night. We didn't find out officially until like noon the next day, like 11 o'clock on Saturday, the next morning, midway through the JV game, that we were officially locked in.
Definitely.
You know, things were looking good, but it's just
you hear that. Everybody gets that, you know, so-and-so says, and he's 75% right half the time. time, you know.
Right.
And he says we're in, win or lose.
Right.
Know? It's like, yeah, well.
Right.
We need to know. Yeah. Right. What if he says, oh, okay, I made a mistake.
Right.
Yeah.
And then all you'd really need is for some crazy thing to happen for a one win team to beat a 9-win team.
Mm-hmm. That nobody.
Yeah. And things could get all flipped around.
Right.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And it can happen. And, you know, I'm sure you guys talked about the Minster game last week and the week before, but that was one of those games where, you know, I sat there and watched that entire game, and it was just who stopped who.
Couldn't get a stop.
And I'm telling you, we were down by the cannon right there before halftime. And that was when they popped it in there right before half. And I tell you what, Ross Homan is one of the funniest dudes in the world. And Ross was down there. I mean, he was like in the end zone screaming, "No way he got in!" And it was so much fun. But,
right. But, and it was one of those weird ones where it's not of who stops who in a sense of like, you know, just defense is getting gashed. It was just like 4 yards, 5 yards.
Yeah, it was a
10 yards.
It was a
4 yards.
It was a battle.
Both ways. 10 play drive, 12 play drive, and like, you know, no defense could get a break, and they just got us, man.
It was, and then like you said, the last play, I walk over to get popcorn because there's a second left, and I'm kind of standing up looking at it, and you can't see. I was on the other end, but then it's a stop, and all of a sudden Joe says, "That's the half," and I was like, "Yes, we stopped them." Then all of a sudden they're lining up. I said, "What happened?"
Put a second back on the clock.
Oh, they had a second. We had to put a second back on the clock. Yeah, Are you kidding me?
It was kind of, they was right there, and he did get in the last time.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, standing down there with those guys at the cannon, it's just a fun night to be standing down there. You know, you think it's loud when you're up in those stands.
Stand right beside it.
That baby will shake your bones. That's awesome.
Is that the best seat in the house, you think?
Well, you know, no, not the best seat in the house.
But I mean, it's not a seat, but, you know, is that the best place to be in the house?
Atmosphere.
For Harrison and I to stand down there with MGA, who's to sit there and shoot the ball, it was a lot of fun. And it's something I'm going to do once a year now.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Absolutely. Hey, let's take a break here, and we'll come back and talk about some MAC players. We got players on the first team
Good
MAC,
thing.
And
Absolutely.
We'll see what Coach thinks about
got
that.
Some studs.
We'll be right back.
Support for the Tribe 107.3 comes from Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery. Open Tuesday through Saturday, Brick Street Tavern serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Their weekday lunch menu changes throughout the week and includes homemade pies and soups. On the weekends, they offer evening steak and chicken dinners. And catering services are also available. For more information, call 419-375-4888.
We thank Brick Street Tavern for supporting the Tribe 107.3.
Support for the Tribe 107.3 comes from Fort Recovery Insurance Agency Incorporated.
As an independent agency, Fort Recovery Insurance works with a variety of providers, including Nationwide, Progressive, Indiana Farmers, Donegal, Ohio Mutual Insurance Group, Acuity, Safeco, and Hagerty, and offer insurance options for vehicles, homes, farm, life, and health. You can reach Fort Recovery Insurance Agency at 419-375-4041 for more details.
We thank Fort Recovery Insurance Agency for supporting the Tribe 107.3, WFRC, LP.
Support for the Tribe 107.3 comes from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery. K&L Tractor Sales is located on State Route 49 South and carries a variety of new and used farm equipment, including tractors, skid steers, hay tools, tillage and harvesting equipment. You'll find brands like Ferris, Kloss, Great Plains, Salford BBI, Artsway, New Holland, and more. They offer parts and service to keep farm and rural equipment running smoothly. You can learn more at kltractorsales.com.
Thank you to K&L Tractor Sales for supporting Fort Recovery Community Radio.
Season tickets for the 2025-2026 basketball season are being sold in the high school office from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. on days that school is in session. Last year's boys' season tickets will have until Friday, November 21st, to get the reserve seat season tickets. Starting Monday, November 24th, anyone not having a reserved seat or wanting a different seat for the boys' games can go to the high school office and see what seats are available for purchase. Season tickets for the boys' home games are $55 for reserved seats for adults, and student season tickets are $35.
If children sit in the reserved seat area, they must also have a reserved seat season ticket because all lower level seats are reserved season tickets. Season tickets for the girls' home games are the same as for the boys', except there will be no reserved seats, $55 for adults and $35 for students. Both girls' and boys' home games, adult tickets at the door will be $8 each, and student tickets at the door will be $7 each. And if you're 65 or older, they offer a senior citizen's pass for only $30, and that's good for both boys' and girls' home junior high and high school games, but this does not include a reserved seat for the boys' home varsity games. For the junior high games, they have an adult all-sports season pass for $25 and student season passes for $10, and those season passes are good for all boys' and girls' junior high home regular season games. For individual junior high games, adult tickets at the door are $5 and $4 for students. The basketball season is coming soon, so get to the high school office now to get your basketball season tickets.
We are back here on SportsCenter talking to head coach Wes Winning. Wes, we got some honors this week, huh?
Yeah.
Who was your guys that made the MAC?
So, first team was... Reese Wendell. So he was a first team tailback, second team linebacker, and then Breaker Judy was second team on both sides of the ball.
Both sides.
So Breaker was second team on both sides of the ball. As a tight end, even though that's the difficult thing in trying to brand a kid like him, is because we use him so many different ways.
Yeah.
He's in the pass game, he's getting direct snaps, he'll put his head down, and then he's blocking for us, doing all sorts of crazy stuff, so it's not going to be like eye popping again on the stat sheet, but Breaker being able to get second team on the offensive end as a tight end, second team defense as an outside linebacker.
Pretty impressive.
It is, especially as a junior, so so Reese getting first team, Breaker getting some second team honors, and then a number of honorable mention guys got the list here with Josh Evers. He actually got it offensively and defensively for the stuff he does on the offensive line and at outside linebacker. Alex Garkey, Brody Hart as a linebacker, Luke Lochtefelt as the fullback, defensive lineman, Anthony Reesener for his play at corner all season, Isaac Reesener for his play at safety and wideout. So, yeah,
nice group.
Those are all
stars, and not just on the field. Those are great people,
right?
Great kids,
right?
The Reesener boys have been nothing but fun to watch this year. Those two kids have been just. Anthony is, Mark's boy, and I've worked with him a couple times at different projects, and he's just a good kid. And you walk up to Anthony, you don't think he's a football player. He's not a very big guy.
No,
right. No. But he's 5'9" and 150 pounds or something.
The night that it was so funny, and I can't remember who we was playing. I think we was playing Bremen at home, and he knocked down a ball in the end zone or something, and he did that where he
and seatbelt.
Seatbelt. He lats her.
That's what the young.
We had Bubba and I standing there. I said, what is that? What does that mean? And Bubba was like, I don't know. And so we asked his grandkids, and they both knew exactly what it was.
Of course they did.
And we started laughing, and I said, man, we are idiots. It was too funny to watch Anthony do that night. And it was, what did he say? Strap him in. I don't remember what it was, but it was too dang funny to watch him do that. And he was super pumped, man. Yeah. He was having a game.
Well, and those are like these success stories that I love and love to like point to for all these young kids. That it's like, this isn't, this isn't just a huge guy's game. And there's still several like middle schoolers who, I've had conversations with, and a lot of those conversations are, I'm too small. I don't want to get hurt, I want to play basketball, I want to play baseball, which is awesome. I want people to be involved in anything, but I like look at it, like I want to make a cut up of Anthony Reesener's film and just being like, dude, if you just stick to the path.
And get pictures of when he was in junior high.
Yeah,
100%. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right, Pete.
How the heck did he do that?
Right, and for not everybody, it's not all going to happen right away sophomore year. Yeah. You know, it's like Anthony's a guy who had to cut his teeth, you know, and he's waited patiently, and here he is senior year, and he's
making plays.
He's arguably like our best defensive player. He's got the most interceptions on the team. Yeah. He put the game away that game against New Bremen.
When he had
that pick with that was just electric. Like, what an electric moment, you know, for our town in front of that crowd and everything. So
it was packed that night.
That was an awesome.
Right.
Might have been our biggest crowd ever. I probably was.
Oh, yeah. You couldn't walk through there.
Yeah.
The first game where they had the cheerleaders. There was 8 million cheerleaders, which is
The little kids.
Amy Bach got another great idea. Whenever you come up with that idea to keep, they have all them little guys.
Was that the same night as the band alumni? The band alumni. That place was rocking. The kids were there. It was rocking.
And student appreciation night, all in the same time.
It was fantastic.
That was a huge crowd. That's what we got to do.
That's a big win. Beating the old Cardinals.
It was.
Yes, it was.
I mean, if you look back and we'd go 5-5. That's probably our biggest win, would you not say?
Yeah, no, I'd agree with you. I mean, we said early on, you know, I think I was on here and, you know, I've even said to some other press, I'm like, the difference going into the season, we knew that the difference between 3-7, 7-3 was going to be razor thin.
Yeah.
It was going to be razor thin.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
You know,
right.
you look at our schedule and, you know, we could have easily fell apart during that Allen East game. You know, we could have lost New Bremen.
After the start that they had.
Yeah. I mean, like 3-7 was very possible. But then you look on the flip side, and it's like, we should have finished against Anna. We should have finished against Minster. You know, and there's the 7-3. And
there you go.
You know, so we shot the middle, and, you know, we're fortunate enough to make playoffs, you know. So, good things happen.
We're good. Well, they deserve to make it. And I thought they were a good enough team to move forward, and obviously they showed that last week. Whatever happens this week is icing. So if we can get through that, that would just make us, you know, then you're down to what? The Elite Eight? We get through this week 16, or not yet?
It might be 16.
It might be 16 yet. You'd have three more wins to Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Three more after this week?
After this weekend.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, that would be, yeah. But I tell you what, it was so much fun to watch them this year, Coach, and I loved the fire that was out there on the field and on the sidelines, and it was awesome.
It was.
I mean, I don't know what else to say. I mean, it was just fun to watch this year, and I'm not taking away anything from the past. I'm just saying it was a different, just a whole new
mindset. Right.
Something, mindset, you know, something, it was just something.
What do you think you or somebody did that changed the feeling on the team? Is there some things you did? What's the secret, maybe, which probably isn't a secret?
You know, and I don't want to act like we've got it completely figured out. Obviously, we've got a lot of business to take care of. But, you know, like right now, one of the things I love most is, you know, the staff from the top, bottom in this organization.
Who are they?
I can't name them all. You know, I mean, but you've got Charlie Vasey, Tanner Cook, Brandon Speedy Shane. You've got Will Holman, Steve Judy, Tyler Webker, Smoke Link. You know, to name a few. Drew Stacey's been you know, back in town helping us out. You know, so
you need that though. I mean, you got the more 100%. Eyes you can get. That's kind of
right. Well, and I was just gonna say that. You know, all those personalities, we kind of balance each other out.
Yeah.
You know, for every person that's, you know, full of fire and yelling and screaming, there's a Charlie Vasey who's handling our defense who's just completely stoic and steady.
Yeah.
Which is completely needed because we all can't be steady because then there's no fire. We all can't
fire.
Be out of control, you know, just yelling and screaming and nobody's organized.
Chaos is not good either.
Right.
Yeah.
So the balance has just been perfect. You know, and Dave Blockberger's been helping out a lot as well. He's been in the box with us. And with Tanner, you know, helping out on the offensive side of the ball. Yeah, so it's just, and then we got the same thing in that middle school staff as well. You know, so there's just a lot of people invested. You know, invested, taking time away from families, time away from a lot of other stuff they could be doing
absolutely.
To contribute to this. And, you know, all the personalities are just meshing right now.
Because
they love to do it.
Yeah. Right. I mean, they love to do it.
Yeah.
And that's the bottom line.
Right.
And it seems like a family.
Right.
Everybody seems to want to make sure they don't let anybody else down.
Right. Well, and, you know, that was a big thing in, you know, talking to a lot of kids, trying to get them back out is, it's not like, you know, I was the guy who went out and got 30 guys myself. Like, each one of our coaches had different relationships with these guys on the paper.
Yep.
You know, whether it's like, that kid was my neighbor growing up. You know, yeah. Like, I got the, I'm the perfect, and I wish I was like, yeah, perfect, yeah. Good, you know, and, or it's the cousin, or the nephew, and, you know, like, so there were multiple people in the room with all those kids, you know, when we're talking to kids, trying to get them back out, different relationships all throughout the staff, you know, which was perfect, you know, so that's where I just feel the really great about this thing is all the relationships kind of intertwined and right. And really balancing each other.
I tell you what, and when you came in too, and you got to bring your thoughts, the way you wanted to do things, and I was hearing, you know, you were running the crap out of them, but they loved it.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you think, oh man, he's going to push them too hard, or it's all going to quit.
Right.
They want to be pushed.
Got to be in shape. That's a physical
I think they want
to
be pushed, and that's. You know, you start talking about running out of gas in the fourth quarter.
Right.
You know, those workouts you did may give us that last 2 minutes
right.
that we need.
Right. You know, and it's still something we're battling. So the motto all week is has been finish. You know, we just need to finish strong. You know, we've came out of the gate, you know, throwing our best punch, and now it's putting together four solid, clean quarters of good football. And, you know, I really think we got a lot of football left if we can continue to do
keep
that week in and week out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, penalty-wise, we did good last week. I mean, we didn't have many penalties last week, and you know, you watch a team kick themselves in the butt by making stupid mistakes and you know, penalizing the team. But, you know, from a coach standpoint, standing there on the sidelines, can you see when somebody's, like, out of position or, I mean, it's tough to follow all 22 guys out there.
It is.
But when you're sitting up top, you know, like Fee and I would do the radio there for a long time, and you could see, like, wait a minute, this kid's
a lot better.
Right. Yeah. But down there on the ground, do you get the guys up in the booth or calling down saying, Wes,
so-and-so's? Right. You really rely on those eyes, and you need good eyes, you know, in the booth to feed you all that information, and for them to make, you know, adjustments accordingly. You know, and you really rely on your experienced players, too. Right. You know, so when you're, you know, I don't know, fourth-year offensive lineman is coming to the sideline, you're like, well, what gap is he in? You know, is he head up? Is he shaded as a one technique? Is he a two? Is he a three? You know, and sometimes you get some of those guys where and you're like, all right, you're not helping me at all.
I just
can't imagine, you know, because standing there field level, and you know, Harold and I do that a lot.
We're
standing there field level, and we watch, and, you know, I mean, hell, I can't watch all our guys.
No.
I mean, you focus on a guy or two.
Right. I mean, like this year for me, my nephew, it's Caden, and I tried to watch him just to see how he's doing and stuff, and, you know, it's hard to keep eyes on alignment.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, but they're a big part of the game.
Oh.
I mean, you got to make holes for these guys, and you can see when it happens, and they do.
Uh-huh.
And you can also see when they fall down. And
Our line, I mean, I missed a couple of games, but our line has been stellar. The only game, we were talking about it at work, and I said the only game where I felt like our guys got pushed around was against the Redskins, because Sam Henry came over and got us at the line.
Yeah, they have a great line, too.
But I said, other than that, I said, we've held our own, if not one.
Yeah.
And like you said, Coach, the Allen East game, Harold and I drove up there, and we walk in, and they throw a trick play at us and score right off the bat, and we're like, oh, my goodness. And we turn around and put it to them, that's a big W.
It was. Well, and especially we were, you know, I went back and watched that game, I believe, last week, like just kind of speed watch. And it's funny, over the course of a year, it's like 10 weeks, you feel like you've grown like two years, you know, with your guys.
I bet it is.
Especially with this group we came in with, you know, where, you know, like starts and reps, like just weren't really a thing. You know, so we're kind of throwing anything at a wall, seeing what sticks, seeing what guys are made of, and the little tweaks we've made personnel-wise and play-calling-wise. You know, I think in that Allen East drive, like, we had one whole drive where our receivers are lining up on the wrong side. You know, like, we went through all the way down the field. Like, didn't even know. Like, nobody caught it.
Yeah.
I actually think it was in legal formation, and the refs didn't catch it. Like, that's just, you know, but, like, it was just getting everybody in sync. And we caught it the next day in film, and everything was cleaned up. But, you know, at that point, we were all just, like, infants trying to figure it, or, like, even coaching staff.
We have no idea.
No. Well, I'm sure he's going to teach you that. Look for this. Look for this to happen. Yeah. Then if this happens, that's going to happen, you know, I would think.
Right.
You
know? Right.
I absolutely have no idea.
Well, we do it on the radio, and we didn't know. I mean, obviously, we could see that.
You know, you have trips right or trips left or stuff, some of that stuff.
As far as, like, if they were in the nickel or the zone or the man, I mean, that's too tough for me to call
that. That's a lot,
And then they drop back.
It's hard enough to find a ball.
Yeah. We couldn't see it half
the time. I'm clear up top looking down, and I can't find the ball. I can't find how those guys did down there.
Yeah, who's got the ball?
Where'd the ball go?
I thought he was trying to throw it. The other guy got tackled
exactly
50 yards away.
That's 100%
correct. Well, Wes, you're doing a great job. Good luck this weekend, buddy. Let's have some fun again, and let's see if we can't get another rematch.
Appreciate it.
We want to play again next week.
Absolutely.
That'd be fun to get another rematch with them guys.
Absolutely.
And maybe it'd be Sydney Lehman, too.
It could be.
You never know.
I mean, you never know. I mean,
that's Sydney Lehman,
right?
50 on
putting 50 up on Minster, surprising. Although,
but they didn't hold. They didn't hold them. The Minster scored 48.
I had no idea that a receiver from Minster is the leading receiving guy in the state.
Lehman Catholic, Lehman. You mean?
Lehman.
Did we scrimmage them?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I was thinking we did.
So we scrimmaged them, but...
At their place, right?
Yeah, at their place early on, but their quarterback didn't play. So he was a baseball kid coming off some, shoulder soreness.
Oh, okay.
Precautionary measures. They didn't play him. You know, so we never saw that side of him. But, yeah, I mean, it's...
We did okay against them, didn't we?
We did really well. And, you know, I mean, that's just any given Friday. I mean, that's the way the MAC's been all year.
Yeah.
It feels like there's no easy chalking up W's and L's.
No.
Yeah.
Not even for Marion Local.
No. Right. Right.
They had really close games.
Really close games.
Somebody going to get them.
Yeah.
Yep, somebody's going to get them.
Yep.
Yeah. Purple and white wouldn't be bad either.
No,
we could do that.
Yep.
That'd be fun. Well, we appreciate you coming in, big fella.
Hey, thank you very much. Maybe, always fun doing this.
Hey, we win. We might bring you in again next week, too.
Let's do it.
Sound good?
Yeah. Best of luck to you.
All right, man.
Hey, thank you, fellas.
Kick some butt. Appreciate you coming in. We'll be right back. Let's take another break, Neil, and we'll talk about the Buckeyes.
Tonight's Hometown Huddle on the Tribe 107.3 is supported by Hull Brothers Case IH, serving farmers and families for more than 125 years. Located in Fort Recovery, Hull Brothers offers new and used tractors from Case IH and Kubota, plus parts and service to keep your equipment running strong. They also carry mowers and outdoor gear from Grasshopper, Cub Cadet, and Toro. Learn more at hullbros.com or call 419-375-2827. Thanks to Hull Brothers for supporting Fort Recovery Athletics and today's broadcast on the Tribe.
Support for the Tribe 107.3 comes from Cooper Farms, family-owned and operated since 1938. With locations in Mercer, Dark, Van Wert, and Paulding counties, Cooper Farms produces a wide variety of turkey, ham, and chicken products, along with table eggs and liquid eggs distributed across North America. They're also proud to give back through community initiatives right here in Northwest Ohio. Learn more at cooperfarms.com. Thanks to Cooper Farms for supporting local athletics and the Hometown Huddle on the Tribe 107.3.
Support for the Tribe 107.3 is provided by Reasoner Energy Products in Coldwater, installing and servicing products from Trane HVAC, Generac Generators, and Mitsubishi Electric Ductless Systems. Reasoner Energy Products is proud to support community growth through quality service and local commitment. Learn more by visiting their location at 445 Hardin Street in Coldwater or online at ReasonerEnergyProducts.com. Their phone number is 419-678-4858.
We thank Reasoner Energy Products for supporting Fort Recovery Community Radio, a 501c3 nonprofit organization.
Veterans Day is coming up on Tuesday, November 11th, and here are some of the things going on around Fort Recovery to help honor those brave men and women who have served our country.
On Sunday evening, November 9th, there will be a veterans meal at the American Legion, the social time at 5:30, and the meal at 6. On Monday, November 10th, there will be a Veterans and Senior Citizens Day breakfast at the middle school auditoria. The breakfast will begin at 9 a.m. with a Veterans Day program at 9:45. Please RSVP ahead of time by Friday, November 7th by calling 375-2815. On Veterans Day, Tuesday, November 11th, there will be a Veterans Day ceremony at the Fort Recovery Veterans Plaza at 4:30. Our Legion and VFW posts will honor all veterans with a 21-gun salute and the playing of taps, and several new names will be formally added to the wall. Again, in honor of Veterans Day, we have several events here in Fort Recovery to honor our veterans. On Sunday evening, November 9th, there will be a veterans meal at the Legion, social time at 5:30, meal at 6 o'clock. Monday the 10th, there will be a Veterans and Senior Citizens breakfast at 9 a.m. at the Auditoria. And Tuesday the 11th, the Veterans Day ceremony at our Veterans Plaza at 4:30. To all of our veterans, thank you for your service. We owe you our freedom. Our freedom.
Wait a minute.
We're done.
This is the third set. We thought it was the second set. We thought, well, we lost the first one.
We're back on, guys. Yeah, we're talking about the volleyball match and how some of the stupid stuff I said during that volleyball broadcast. Well, but still.
You know what?
What a great year for Travis and the
absolutely.
Girls.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
That was a great
year. I had no idea it was 1991 since we had done the region finals.
Well, it was so hard to get out.
Well, to battle through our teams, battle through the match.
Yeah, it's just tough.
Well, last year we made the regional semis, right?
I think that was district final that we lost to Anna. Maybe not.
I thought Anna beat us in this regional.
Might have been.
Anna beat us in the district finals in basketball.
And then we came back and we played basketball too. And boys,
so you think it was volleyball and basketball?
I think they got us in volleyball too last year.
I think it was at Northmont, but I think we played two matches at Northmont. We didn't play at Fairmont last year.
I got to tell you guys this funny story before we move on. But Sunday, I go to Columbus and Joel's rowing on the side of the river. Standing there, and I bump into the guy, and he is the cross-country coach for Botkins, okay? Mm-hmm. And he asked me where I was from. And long story short, his daughter's going to bring my daughter home at Thanksgiving. And, I mean, good dude.
That's good.
But he was on the basketball team at Botkins in 1999 when we made our state run.
And we
beat Botkins by 2 in the regionals.
Yep.
He said we were 7-19 from the free throw line. He said, I can't talk to anybody from Fort Recovery without remembering that. He was the point guard against Scotty D.
Scotty D, yep.
And, man, did we sit there and laugh, he was such a good guy, and he knows Coach Reisner, our cross-country coach, and Matt and him ran against each other or something, and he's known him forever, and I said, well, I can't wait till I talk to Matt and tell him how you were bad-mouthed in Fort Recovery cross country, and he said, you go right ahead, because I know Matt won't believe anything you say. But he was, you know, it's so funny. So it's such a small world, and such here it is, a guy from Botkins that 26 years ago remembers the game that we played in 1999 against him, and he named off every one of our starters.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, just couldn't make free throw.
Yeah, and their coach married Lynn Benn.
Yep, Doug Hughes.
So him and Doug are buddies.
Yep.
And we sat there and talked for 45 minutes while we watched these long 50-foot boats go up and down the river, not knowing who the hell was on the boat, or if we were winning or losing. We had no idea. So then a guy from Michigan walks up. And he was a grandpa of a freshman on the Michigan rowing team. He drove 4.5 hours.
Wow.
To get there. So we get there, and he said, we find this bridge, and we come out to watch. And he said, we're standing up here. We get a text from his granddaughter. It said, yeah, Grandpa, I'm sorry you drove here. I'm sick, and I won't be rowing today.
About a little quicker heads up on that one, dear.
Grandpa was not a happy grandpa. I said, well, just stand here with us. I said, we've got great stories going. He said, oh, my God. He said, unbelievable. But funny day. And it's just a small world. It's just a small world, and I ended up talking to another guy,
And he had a daughter. He was lived up around Cleveland, and he grew up. Oh, and I can't remember the little town. And I said, shit, we got a guy that we know that has a business in Fort Cover for mayor. I said, his name is Ed Zumstein. He said, Ed Zumstein's my best friend. He's from Cleveland. I mean, what's the odds?
What the odds that?
I didn't know Ed Zumstein was from Cleveland. I don't know.
No. Ed is from...
north even of, that north, area.
Just south of Greenville, and I can't think of the little village now.
Yeah,
it was comical that...
Lewisburg, I believe.
Lewisburg.
Yep.
Lewisburg. That's exactly what it was. And I said, I know a guy from Lewisburg. And I told him, he said, Ed Zumstein's my best friend. He said... He married his high school sweetheart. I married my high school sweetheart. We just saw each other at I think he said he was 71. So that would be like their 50th, maybe 50th class
somewhere
reunion,
there,
somewhere
yeah.
in there.
Yep.
Anyhow, it was just too funny to sit there and talk to that guy, and so I can't wait to bump into Ed. But long story short, it was a fun day, and I just wanted to get that out there. But yeah, awesome. Absolutely fantastic for Coach Googs and
that is good
cross country team, and they had a great year Indian fall sports.
And the neat thing about Googs is there's not a senior on the team, so you're gonna bring that team back next year.
He's got the whole clan.
He's gonna have back.
And those
have
freshman arsenal. Girls were
very good.
A couple of them were absolutely incredible.
Yep.
And the other ones were really good.
Well, we're gonna find out next year, and I think Coach Hughes is looking forward to
He's
that.
He's doing a great job, and keep it up, buddy. And
absolutely,
we'll be rooting for you again next year.
Yeah.
What else we got, Fee?
We did well.
We had a little Buckeye football we watched there on Saturday.
Oh yeah, what a. We had a good time. We went to Andy Stockler's and had a little party for the boys and beat the crap out of Penn State.
Yep. Handled them pretty easily.
They didn't hire anybody. I haven't heard anything yet. I mean,
no, just the
kind of hanging in.
I decided they're probably going to finish out this season and then go after somebody.
Now they play Indiana.
It'd be interesting to see if Indiana beats the crap out of them, too.
So that could be six losses in a row.
Yeah.
So we were talking this week.
That might be the first time they've lost six in a row.
I can't imagine hadn't lost six games in a season.
I said, when's
for a
the
long
last time?
Time
the Buckeyes lost six in a row? We looked it up. They never have.
I was going to say.
Never have lost six in a row.
When we had Belisari that one year, we were really bad. We lost about four.
We lost five in a row going way, way, way back.
Way, way back, yep.
We've lost five in a row like twice, but we've never lost six in a row. But
wow.
What a meltdown.
How can you... They had a chance of losing six in a row, and they were number two preseason.
Yeah.
Second best team in the country preseason.
I don't know if I've ever seen like it.
There's anything like it either.
Yeah, and we beat the preseason number one team in the first game of the season. Texas.
Yeah, and now don't count them out. They're starting to
come back now.
They're starting.
They actually have two huge games. They got Georgia yet, and I think they got Alabama yet.
Oh, they got two.
And you know the Manning.
I know they play Georgia. Yeah.
You know the Manning kid is just getting better every.
He's starting to throw some numbers out there, and you never know about them. But they were in the top 12 last night. So
yeah, did you watch the?
I didn't watch the whole thing.
I watched most of it. I mean, they're just dying for excuses to get the Buckeyes out of that number one.
Well, I don't know how they're going to do it.
Well, that's what they kept saying. Well, if you do all the analytics, numbers-wise, and whose power ratings are better than the other power ratings, and now the judges or whatever that are doing it are saying they go by the eye test, because they think by looking at Ohio State, and if they play Texas A&M, Ohio State's better. But... who does that? Well, you can't be perfect on that thing.
What are they going to do? What are they going to do if the Buckeyes win out, Indiana wins out, and then we play their number one, Indiana's number one, Indiana's number two. We go play them in the Big Ten Championship.
Big Ten Championship.
I mean, can't drop.
No, whoever wins, I'd have to think
Now, if one team wins 50-0 and embarrasses the other team, that's something.
If Indiana have one loss, I would still think they should be number two.
I agree.
Unless somebody really gets hot, like Alabama or Georgia.
Be interesting to see.
But, yeah, if they meet each other undefeated, and it's a decent game. The other one can't drop much.
No.
They'll still be in the playoffs, and who cares? Because, Ohio State proved last year, as long as you're in the playoffs,
you can win.
You got a chance.
Yep.
I got I seen where they did switch that. Like they put Ohio State in a different position of the bracketing. So
instead of them playing
which
Oregon.
Is right. I mean, it 12 is. Teams, they should play. If number 12 would happen to win the first game, Ohio State should play number 12.
Yeah.
You know, they should play the worst ranked team.
Instead of last year, they started out with 10, and then they had to play Oregon.
Oregon had
right
to play us.
Yeah,
I mean,
Oregon.
Right out of the gate.
That
like,
wasn't right.
You know, we beat the crap out of Tennessee, and now we got to play Oregon, and we beat the crap out of them.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure Oregon's thinking, you know, if you let us on the other side of the bracket,
we may meet them in the finals.
Play something, we might play them in the finals.
Yeah.
Then.
Right.
Who knows? But I think they got it figured out.
Well, I hope.
Hopefully that.
Hopefully the Bucks just keep rolling. They go to Purdue this week.
We'll find out here in 3 weeks, I'm sure.
Thank goodness we don't play Purdue on a night game because...
Oh, we lose every time we play on a night game.
We cannot beat Purdue at night. I don't know what it is, but we do not beat Purdue at night.
That's a fact.
So we got them during the day. That's a good sign. And they always play us tough.
Yeah,
so
they played Michigan tough last week.
I know. All we can do is go down there. You cannot sleep against the Big Ten, so...
No.
I got to go down there and take care of business.
At their places. Tough to beat.
Got to take care of business. And then you talked about the World Series.
Okay, Calvi, we're both baseball guys.
Yes, sir.
That might be the best World Series I ever see.
I've seen some things I never saw before.
That's what I was just like astonished. And it was 4 a.m.
I could not do that.
Thank
the love of God that I did not get into that game.
The 18 inning one I did fall asleep on, but the finals I didn't. That was unbelievable.
I watched that game.
Finals I stayed into.
That was some kind of World Series.
And oh, my gosh.
Some records that I don't know will ever be broken. I don't know if a guy can get on 9 times again in a World Series game.
It's incredible.
That guy, he might be the best baseball player ever.
Yeah.
I mean
that
Ohtani is...
Well, that damn... 3 home runs and struck out 10 guys.
I mean...
else you want the guy to do?
I don't know what... He's probably the best baseball player. We can't go back to the Babe Ruth days, but
no.
I mean, he's the best I ever seen.
It's incredible. Yeah, not only is he when he's on the toe in the rubber, it's like, oh God,
I know.
Can't hit this guy, and then he comes up to bat, and you're like, oh no, he's going to hit home run.
Poor Reds got to go out there and play him for their one game wild card deal, and Ohtani hits a bomb right off of the bat,
right out of the gate,
and sets the tone, and it's just a.
What's your thoughts on the salary cap of him?
I think
people are just absolutely crying about it. It ain't right.
They keep complaining about it. You know, the Yankees go over and
the Yankees or Dodgers just go buy every good
player.
And
then they just pay the fines and move on and
who cares
and beat the crap out of you and I was probably like the majority of the America rooting for the Blue Jays. I mean, I wanted the Blue Jays to win it.
Yep.
I figured I was rooting Milwaukee wide open and it didn't happen.
Once the Brewers got out, I mean, I was rooting for the Blue Jays.
I was too.
Can't be a Dodgers fan.
Well, I struggle with that. You know, if it had been the Dodgers against the Yankees, I probably would have rooted for the freaking Dodgers.
I'd have turned TV off.
Yep.
About as good as I could do.
I mean, it's tough to root against any of those teams or root for those teams. But, you know, I read today that Kyle Schwarber tomorrow is supposed to, they may announce that the Reds got Kyle Schwarber. And.
Wow.
Until tonight and when. The Dodgers GM calls him and says,
"Yeah,
how about $1 billion?
Yeah,
how about a billion? For us? Okay, I'll play with you guys.
I know. And tomorrow is supposed to be when they say if Kyle Schwarber is going to be a Red,
he's got ties there, right? Since then,
well, he's a Middletown boy, so I mean, he always said he wanted to play for his hometown team, but."
I mean, that is exactly what we need.
We need a 40 bomber.
We need a 40 bomber.
We need a 40 bomber, and we don't have that. You know, I think, you know, Bubba and I talked. We had three plus hours to talk about it on the way down to the football game Friday night, and we talked about the Reds and moving people around. And then yesterday I read, one guy says, I think you put Elliott first. He said, look how much range he would have at first base and how big of a target he is down there.
He big target
to throw at because we've got solid shortstops. And I never even thought about putting Ellie at first base.
No. That's
interesting.
Everybody kept talking, throw him on the outfield.
Put him in the outfield. And this guy said, you know, we got outfielders. He said, and you can put Steer in the outfield. He plays a good outfield. Put him at first base. And I'm like, dude could cover some ground there at first base.
Yeah.
I mean,
second baseman could play on the other side of second base.
I mean, I never even dreamt of putting him at first base. But,
yeah.
Big, tall, lanky dude over there.
Yeah. This is lightning.
I mean, yeah. I mean,
interesting.
Interesting thought. So,
usually you have your weakest fielder at first base.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean,
that's, you know,
for the most part, but you got to have somebody over there that knows how to play first base.
Yeah.
And this year we brought Steer in there and had him playing first base.
He did a hell of a job.
And I think Steer did absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. I agree.
I mean, as the year went on, he made some plays that I thought were
big time plays.
Yes, Joey Votto don't make that play.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I don't have any troubles to Steer at first, but when I read that, I'm like,
put Steer in the outfield and
think about that.
Yeah.
Put Ellie at first, but I never.
Although Ellie would run down everything, I think, if he got good at being an outfielder.
He's fast.
Fast as lightning.
I know.
And his reaction to the ball coming off the bat is basically instant.
Yeah, I would think
now, maybe.
It may be different if you're playing the outfield to be able to do that.
We got
to
give that guy. We got to give that guy a blow. He can't be in 162 ball games.
No,
I mean,
I agree.
Every time we had an off game or a day off, and he came back, he batted like 375. So,
wow. So
every time
you keep him fresh, you think he might be pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, we got to give him a time to get off.
Well, when he started out hot, and then all of a sudden cooled down, which could be because he was getting wore out. He
played every day.
Yeah.
And not that I couldn't play a baseball game every day when I was 22 years old.
Yeah.
But the traveling and the whole shebang, I'm sure it's.
Oh, yeah, it's got to wear on you.
Yeah, has to.
And everybody's different. Some people can do that, and some people can't.
Yep.
You know, Ripken, you know, played every day, and he was a pretty good player every day. And other guys can't do that.
That's another record that will never be broke.
I can't imagine.
That's a lot of games.
Nobody has the desire to do that.
No way he wants that record.
I don't think anybody's going to come close to Pete's record.
No.
I don't think anybody's going to come close to Cal Ripken's record.
No. Yeah. Those are two pretty solid ones.
Now, I don't think anybody's going to come close to Ohtani's record of getting on 9 times in a World Series game.
Incredible, too.
Crazy.
That's the damnedest stat you ever heard of.
Yeah, that's not even possible. You can't even get to bat 6 times. Beyond 9 times? That's nuts.
That was some kind of ball game. And
oh, my God.
There was 3 extra inning games in the World Series?
I think so.
Yeah.
That last one, 4-3. I thought I got to watch the 9th inning. He hit that home run, tied it up. I thought, are you kidding me?
That Bichette hit that home run to make it 3-0 early in the game, and I thought, here we go, boys. And Scherzer was on the mound, and he ended up giving up one.
Yep.
And the announcers even said, you know, it's going to boil down to these bullpens. And Bubba said, Dodgers bullpen is weak.
It was.
And
until the playoffs.
And
they kind of sucked her up a little bit then.
Well, you got a guy by the name of Clayton Kershaw coming in out of the bullpen.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
That's not too bad.
That's not too bad.
Now, there was a guy had some kind of local ties that coming into the Dodgers dugout that won the game for him. Mom was from somewhere. Hmm. Oh, Jay County. The mom
they lived one of the Dodgers was from Jay County?
Her dad, I think, either taught at Jay County or Portland. And there's some connection with that guy.
Jay County?
Yeah, listening to I can't remember if it was Rob or Ed Thurman or Eric Catterley that was talking about it the next day, that there's some connection with his mom to Jay County and grandpa to Jay County.
That is pretty cool.
That is really cool.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was, and I'd never heard the name before anyway, because I think he was the guy that was in the minors 3 weeks ago.
For the Dodgers?
Yeah. It might have. There's a possibility that it was maybe for Toronto, but he won. He was the pitcher of record in that game.
Well, the kid from Toronto started the season out in single A, and then he went to high A, then he went to double A, then he went to triple A.
Yeah, it wasn't the Dodgers.
And then he ended up throwing a... He won two games.
Yeah. I think he pitched four innings maybe in that.
No, he won two games as a starter, and his salary was $57,000, I saw. That's probably going to go up next year.
That might go up a little bit.
Probably should.
Well, it should when he's going to be a Dodger.
So he beat the Dodgers twice. So now that,
okay. Well, we know how to fix
Magic
that.
Magic Johnson says,
we know how to fix that.
I'm going to make a little trip to Toronto. I'm going to pick up this guy. Give him what he wants.
He'll be on our lineup now.
That was a fantastic World Series. Well, anytime it goes to Game 7.
Yep, you can't beat it. No. Game 7s are unbelievable. Everything's so tight. Oh my gosh. That fly ball to left field, I thought was gone. And then the one kid had no chance to catch left field. Had no chance. And that big guy jumps up, jumps over the top of it and takes it away from him.
How about the double play the night before with the fly ball out to left fielder and he threw him out at second?
Threw him out at second. Seriously?
I puked on that play. No,
how can you have that? You can't let that happen.
How could that happen? I was like, no way.
That's unbelievable.
Well, at least Harold Feeley wasn't the second base coach.
I thought it was going to drop. I mean, but I wasn't standing at second base and had a pretty good idea. I was sitting in my lazy boy. So But I could see how it happened. But man, you can't let that happen.
Can't let that happen.
No.
It's a killer.
Not a big game like that.
Game over. Double play to end the game.
End the game.
Yikesy.
Unbelievable. Well, boys, you got anything else?
Nope. Got a big game Friday.
Friday, we got a big game. Get online. I'm sure they got instructions on how to get there. They got the...
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
I've seen it today somewhere.
You go down 35 to Chillicothe and go... As near as I can tell, there's no direct route to Beaver.
Yeah.
So you go down Chillicothe 23, I think straight south.
State route
119. Hey, you're right, Beaver.
No, it won't. It 119 ends at Beaver south home. Of Jackson Center.
Beaver Homes.
Beaver Homes.
Yeah, Beaver Homes.
Yeah, you're right to Beaver Homes.
Wrong. Yeah, that's a short trip.
That's a quick trip.
Well, if it was there, I'd definitely go to the game.
I'd definitely go to that one.
Well, I can make it.
I'll tell you. Right next door, Tebby's yard looks as good as any football field.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So we can play there.
We can play there in a heartbeat.
Invite them on up.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Make sure everybody gets there. It's going to be a big weekend.
Beat the... What are they?
The Beaver.
Eastern Beaver
Eagles.
What?
Look like Eagles.
I think it's Eagles.
Big Bird.
Yeah, they're not Eagles. The Beaver Beavers. Beaver is the town it's in. Yeah. I believe that the Eastern school Beaver. is actually Eastern Pike.
Do you know tonight is the Beaver Moon?
Oh, well.
It's huge.
It's the brightest moon of the year.
It's unbelievable how big it is.
Yep. It's called the Beaver Moon.
The Beaver Moon? Well, the Beaver butt kicking is going to happen Friday night.
Yep.
It's your ass.
Yeah, we'll moon them.
Beaver Moon tonight. Sounds good, boys.
We'll give them the moon.
Well, let's get a win. And next week, I think Bubba's got... He's got Tyler Dyche coming in, I think.
Oh, yep. That'd be good.
Getting ready for round ball.
Getting ready for girls basketball.
Yep, that'd be good.
I'm sure the volleyball girls will start heading in there now, and the boys are still coming.
Yep.
I think we got our...
Hopefully they stay away for a little longer.
Get your season tickets. You don't need season tickets.
No.
Yep. I think we got our season tickets today.
Yep.
They came on
yesterday sale. was the time you could pick them up if you did the springtime half price or whatever it was tickets. You can go pick them up. That's all
good to go.
Going now through the 21st.
Maybe I did that.
Yeah.
I don't even remember.
They'll have it. They'll have the record up there. If you paid it, you paid it. If you didn't, you didn't. But so the 21st is the last day. If you have season tickets already, you can claim your seats. And then the ones that aren't claimed, or if you want to try to switch for something else,
grab one.
You can start the following Monday, which would be, I think, the 24th or something. So
sounds good.
So,
all right, from myself here, Harold Feeley and Dave Kalp.
Thanks, Mayor.
Owner operator Neil Spencer. We will see you Friday night.
Yes,
go
sir.
Go Indians.
WFRC, broadcasting live from the Miracle Lane Studios in historic Fort Recovery, Ohio. Brought to you in part by community-minded sponsors and the sports department of this radio station.